Of Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. Find your place in the Word of God. We'll read in just a moment and then bring the message I believe the Lord would have me to in the service tonight. You can tell I'm a little bit raspy in my voice, but you pray God will touch us and bless us and use us, and the Lord's will be done. Let me just say this. Many have asked already about my wife. Do continue to pray for her. She is doing much better. I praise the Lord for it. Doing good. But she's not nearly back yet where she needs to be, where she was. And you pray God will touch her and bless her, and the Lord's will be done. She had what they call a TIA, temporary stroke. A temporary stroke does not affect paralysis. It doesn't have a blood clot. It doesn't, you know, do it. It literally, they told me, that's what the doctor told us, that for some unexplained reason, the blood just stops flowing through the brain for just a very brief minute of time. And then it picks back up, and she may have had a couple of them during that time she was having them. But she is now back pretty much, you know, functional of her own. I was sharing a while ago, it does change some emotional things and changes some. Now, this is not bad, I won't just say it, but I shared with Brother Branch a while ago. My wife, as you all know, has been in bad health for some time, and she's not hardly been able to do any housework. And boy, since this has happened, she's been working almost day and night cleaning that house. It's got to be cleaned up. Everything in it has to be moved, and everything's got to be wiped under. And the bad part is she wants me to help her. Amen. But we've gone in the house cleaning business. And I know, and please, I'm not derogatory about my wife when I say that, but just, and there was a time of confusion. She's pretty well over that now. And then the emotional stress and anxiety, a bad time of that. She had a lot of vertigo, but most of that is subsiding now, and she is doing better. This is the first time I've been away from her for any days. I tried to get her to come. I thought she might be going to come, and she decided she was able to stay by herself, and so she's at home. And you pray God will bless her and touch her, and the Lord's will be done in her life, and God's will be done in the meeting. And you pray God will just work the work He wants to work for His glory and His honor. I'm glad to be here. Glad you're here. Good to see all of you from Ridgeview. Good to see these missionaries. And they just no telling what God wants to do in this place tonight. Brother Sexton, thank you for the privilege to be back again. And let's just worship God. Go to the meeting and let God speak to your heart, and the Lord's will be done. I want to say this, preacher. I don't know if I told you this or not. You probably not got my prayer letter because I've not mailed it yet. I got it ready in the mail. Got to get it ready and get in the mail. But the Lord blesses. You know, for many years, since 1995, the Lord's let us see over $1 million a year raised in Faith Promise Missions. Last year, preacher, we exceeded $2 million. Got in one large church. It gave over $400,000. And that really helped us. But we had about $1.6 million besides that. And I'm saying that because you support me in the work and the radio work. We went on 110th station January the 1st. And then I found out, you know, I'm on Fundamental Broadcasting Network. And they've added a couple. So I'm broadcasting now about 112 times a day, something like that. I can't keep up with it. I just preach and put it up there, and they get it and pray it. And I don't know who all. I got a call last year from a station in Indiana that wanted to know how to get back to my webpage. And the thing is, I didn't know I was on their station. So I hooked them up with my webman, and their computer going down. The story was their computer going down, and they lost my access code to get up to my, whatever that program is, it's got my website, my station on it. So they've been playing it. I don't care how many plays it. It's just the work of God. But you have a part in all that. I appreciate it so much. Thank you for your friendship, your fellowship, and then your support too as well. Let's stand together if you would please. Ephesians chapter number 3. I've been working on another message, and I just really felt this afternoon God began to deal with my heart to deal with this tonight. And I want to carry this thought. I'm not going to preach on it in this sense. But I want to just deal with the thought of keeping the main thing the main thing.
Yes, sir, brother.
There's a lot of churches and preachers and individuals sidetracked in our day. I don't have to tell you there are many things that occupy the mind of church folk.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I'm only critical, Brother Sexton, but I want to go ahead and say this. I'm amazed sometimes at what some even preachers look at as spirituality. Now, I like shouting, I like running, I like it just as much as anybody does. But I still think when you shout, you ought to hit the ground walking straight.
Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
Live right.
Yes, sir.
But that's not all. You ought to be doing right.
Yes.
You ought to be doing the right thing. Keeping the main thing, the main thing. You pray God will speak to us tonight from His eternal Word. Ephesians chapter number 4, number 3 rather. Let me begin reading verse number 13. Beginning with verse 14, there's a big, long sentence, and I want to read it all, not just read part of it. But in verse number 13, the Bible said, "Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Keep your Bible open. Let's bow our heads and hearts for a moment of prayer. Then the message for this evening from God's eternal Word. Our precious Heavenly Father, again, dear Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bow before You to pray. Father, I do want to say thank You for the joy of salvation. Lord, I want to thank You once again. You let me be born in America. You let me hear the gospel. You saved me to it by Your grace. You called me to preach. You put me in the ministry. You have kept me there, Father, all of these years. And the Lord, I acknowledge this evening all that I am, whatever hope to be, I owe it all to Thee. And Father, I come to You now tonight much aware of the fact that without You, I am nothing. Without the leadership of the Holy Spirit, without the power of God, my efforts are vain. So I ask You now, Father, that You take me, You touch me, You transform me, You talk to me and through me to the heart of this people. Thank You, dear Lord, for Ridgeview Baptist Church and for the opportunity to be back again. Thank You for all these visitors that are here. Lord, I pray that You will help me and help us to be a blessing to each other. May they be encouraged and they be lifted up. And may they find even new direction and encouragement in the work of God in these days. Bless Pastor and his people. And please do a work in the life of the membership of this church. And Lord, do that You want to do. And do that, dear God, that needs to be done to the glory and to the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help me now to help Your people. And for what You do, Father, I'll give You praise, honor, and glory. Because I pray it in Jesus' name. For our sake I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Do keep your Bible open, please, this evening with the message for tonight from the Word of God. I don't know if your mind was like mine or not. I'm sure most of these preachers have somewhat of the same mindset. But I read down through there, and about every other line I read, a new subject that popped up. A new message I could preach on, and that will be, you know, could be useful. But I want to just focus in verse number 21, the last verse. And the Bible said in this verse, "Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." And as I said a moment ago, I want to preach on this subject. I want to preach on the kind of church that glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say this very humbly, but yet rather dogmatically. If that's not our purpose, we miss it.
That's right.
Now, I want to make this statement, Pastor. I'm going farther than just Ridgeview Baptist Church, because basically, every one of these preachers you're missing represent the beginning of a church. You already have some started there, but most of you are going to start churches. And so, I want to make this statement. I am real dogmatic. I'm almost fighting dogmatic over what I'm about to say. Christ still loves the church. This Bible is a local church Bible. God is a local church God. And if you bypass a local church, you bypass God's plan for the church. How did I get off on that? Let me go ahead and say this while I'm there. I've been preaching. I'm in my 55th year. I determined, Brother Bud, as a young man, God put it in my heart, there would never be a Stinnett Ballou ministry. I'm married to my wife. I'm a member of a Baptist church. And both of them are full-time and both demand more than I can produce. Now, I don't mean that just to be funny. I mean it. I'm full-time. I'm full-time. Don't lie on me. I'm full-time with my wife. I'm full-time with my church. But we're in a day when so many even, and I don't want to be mean, but even mission programs are bypassing or circumventing the local church. I don't want to say this, but I've got to be honest with you. We're living in a day when some are using the church. But it's not to the glory of Christ, but it's to glorify their own ministry. If you use the word ministry, I'm not really fussing at you. I'm just telling you about my life. But God is interested in the church.
Amen.
I still believe the basic principle of missions in Acts is church planting ministry.
Yes.
But in order for the church here to send out missionaries and support and sustain the support of those missionaries so that they can plant churches, then this church must keep the basic things basic, the right things right, the main thing, the main thing.
Yeah.
I know, basically everyone of you know the things I'm going to deal with tonight, but I'm going to deal with them again. I'm going to say them again.
Yes,
I feel like we need to be reminded of them.
Yes,
amen. Now, I want you to hear me. I think the church ought to be a great place for fellowship.
Yes.
But fellowship is not the main thing of the church. I think the church ought to do some good deeds in the community. I don't think it's wrong to help somebody in need. But that's not the main thing of the church. You see, well, preacher, what is the main thing? The Great Commission. There is nothing any more important in this world, in our generation, as far as God's concerned, than that we carry out the Great Commission given by our resurrected Lord. We're not a healing line. Don't die when I say this. We're not a food pantry. I'm not against soup. I'm not. You know me better than that. Amen. And by the way, I'm not against nice buildings. But buildings is not the bottom line. I'm surely not against big numbers. But big numbers is not the bottom line. I'm not against all the singing, so-called, that's done. I'm against some of it, but I'm not against it. But I'm saying singing is not just all there is to the church. I was singing today. It's been several years ago. I don't know why this came back to my mind. That's the Lord wanted me to say it. I remember there was a neighboring church in our community. Some close friends, preacher, were members of that church. They had a revival meeting. And the preacher preached a little bit the first night, the evangelist. Then preached none on Tuesday night, none on Wednesday night, none on Thursday night, none on Friday night. And Sunday morning, between Sunday school and church, he had to dismiss the service because some of those that have been shouting all week are now pouting. I mean, this is where I got in a fight. I'm saying to you, we've got a lot of things going on in the name of church. If that bothers you, it don't bother me, preacher. You have a service every once in a while where you don't get to preach. Wonderful. I'm expressing my own opinion right now. Wonderful. Wonderful. But that ought not be the rule. You see, one of our problems is we now have come to the place that church has been set up as a make me feel good. We're far more interested in happiness than holiness. We're far more interested in shouting than serving. I'm not against shouting. I'm not against happiness. But I'm saying to you, those are just some side benefits. That's not the main thing. I know it takes money to run the church. But there's more to it than just the offering board. You know how I preach on tithing and free will offerings and mission giving, and you'll probably hear it again before the week's over. But I'm saying to you, we need to come back to focusing. What is the main thing? What is the main thing? Now, preacher, we're friends, and I'm trying to not say anything at all that would raise any question on you when I say this, but you'll understand it, and I think your people understand it. The man of God has a position that should always be a position of being respected by his members. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Right. But the main purpose of the church is not to glorify the preacher. We ought to have good people, and you do have some good people, but the real bottom line, it's not just to glorify people. You say, preacher, what is it? You know what it is. It's to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What do you mean, something, preacher? In every service that you have here, when you walk out the door, God can look down and say, I like that. I like that. We started a new youth group down at our church. Our old ones got married off, and we kind of lost that for a little while. And they got a new one going now, doing a good job. And the man who is leading this youth choir has a daughter that sings in it. Has three daughters that sing in it, really. And one of them plays the bass guitar. Brother Wesley, y'all know Brother Wesley and the girls. And he taught his daughter how to play that bass. And then he taught her how to do a run to come from the end of a verse. You know, they kind of stopped at the verse, and then she done a tum 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 tum, and they took off on the course. And I got to watch them do this one day. I told them the church while I was preaching. When she did that run, preacher, she didn't look at me to see what I thought about it. She didn't even look at Pastor to see what he thought about it. She didn't look around at them other 30 kids to see what they thought about it. There's only one person that mattered. You're getting it, aren't you? She looked at her daddy, and boy, if he'd give that little... Sometimes they do that, and they'll quit picking his guitar. And that's all that matters. I'm getting feel from religious now. I'm telling you, when it be something for the church to meet service after service, and when God, when it's over, kind of look up toward heaven, and God just kind of gives you.
Yes.
Yep. Amen.
Yep.
Now, I love you. I love to hear the special singing. I love everything that goes on here. But I'm just simply saying, you and I, listen, it's not about me as far as glorifying me is concerned. It's not about you, but it's glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. And every member will have a composition. If God's satisfied, so am I. One time, preacher, I'll tell this and I'm going to get to where I want to preach tonight. One time when I was pastoring, I took on a missionary. This only happened one time. Took on a missionary on Sunday night. On Tuesday, I saw him at a fellowship meeting. And Tuesday at lunch, he came up to me and asked me a question I've never been asked by another missionary. He came up to me and he said, preacher, what do you expect out of me as your missionary? And it kind of caught me off guard. And I thought a minute. Here's what I said to him. I said, when we come to the judgment seat of Christ, if what you've done has pleased God, I'm going to give you a double thumbs up.
Amen?
Amen. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I'm not up here to please you. We're not gathered to preach you. We're not gathered to please me. We're gathered to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to give you about four or five things quickly tonight on how we can glorify the Lord Jesus Christ as a church, as a missionary, as an individual. But I'm using the word church here because I do believe it all ought to be done through the local church. Let me tell you, first of all, for a church to glorify Christ, we must have the right motive for our purpose. The right motive. For our purpose. That's what I've been dealing with for the last 10 minutes now. Our purpose is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. We do that as it's already been said a lot of different ways. Evangelizing sinners and all that. We do that by worshiping together. But when we come together. I remember as a boy. We didn't have no prayer room. Didn't have no Sunday school rooms. My brother Texan, they went down there, what they called the Grove. It was just down in the woods, bro, the church there, and had prayer meeting Sunday night for service. My daddy's song leader. But I saw them come out of that Grove many times, and my daddy stepped up them front steps into that door. My daddy start, "Brethren, we have met to worship and adore." And the congregation joined in with him. Wouldn't it be something if that was our motive? Every time we gather together, every song that's sung, every prayer that's prayed, everything that's done, oh, if we just lift Him up, glorify Him, the motive that we have, my friend, for our purpose in existing as a church, is that He might be glorified, that He might be glorified. Can I say this? You major on making much of glorifying Christ, and He'll make much of you. I'm going to just mention a second. I'm not going to deal long with these first two. Not only must have the most right motive for our purpose, but we must have the right manual for our precepts. I'm running into this more and more, and I know you are too. I'm amazed at how many of them are now beginning to wonder a little bit of question mark about whether this is really. I want to say dogmatically. Hard-headed, head-knocking, whatever you want to call it, as much as I can. I have no reservation in my heart at all. But what I hold in my hand, a preserved copy of the divinely inspired Word of God, not preserved by man, but preserved by God. And I'm saying to you, my friend, that we must use this Bible. We don't need somebody else's manual. We don't need somebody else's something. But I'm saying to you, we need to get back to Bible-centered church planting, Bible-centered, serving God, Bible-centered, soul-winning, Bible-centered, worshiping God, and come back till we meet, and this is our final authority.
Amen.
Number three, I want to spend some time here. Not only need the right motive for our purpose, right manual for our precept, but number three, we need the right ministry. Our program. The right ministry for our program. Now, I know I'm using a word we redneck Baptists don't like to use. Program. 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 I'm trying to get you used to it. What I'm talking about is the normal session of the church. The normal thing we do. Y'all understand what I'm talking about. We need the right ministry for its program. Now, I'm already giving you a whole bunch of negative. I'm not going to spend time to deal with it. But what should be? What kind of ministry does a church have to perform that glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're writing notes down, I want to give you three things. Number one, first of all, we need an upward ministry. Exalting the Savior. An upward ministry exalting the Savior. Now don't crucify me for what I'm fixing to say. I still believe there's some. I know when Jesus said, and if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. I know he's speaking about his death on the cross. I understand that. But Brother Sexton, I still believe that there is an essence to it. That in our day, through the preaching word of God and magnifying him, if we lift up Christ, there's still a magnetism. There's still a drawing power. And the higher we lift him up and he draws him, the more pulling power there is of God in the church, in the community, and on the life of people. We need to exalt the Savior in everything that goes on at the church. It'd be good for us to pause every once in a while and just ask ourselves, is this exalting Christ? And by the way, basically everything we do exalts somebody. If it's not exalting him, it's exalting somebody else. And I want to tell you, one of the greatest lessons I've learned in all these years is he doesn't share that glory. If you put your hands on the glory, you shall be looted. Till Christ will not put his hands and his glory on your life. Every song that's sung, every Sunday school lesson that's taught, every message that's preached, every testimony that's given, ought to be weighed in the light. Does it exalt the Lord Jesus Christ? I know this is kindergarten preaching. I know that. But the Lord just dealt with my heart strongly. Seems to stir us up by putting us in remembrance of this thing. That's the bottom line. And by the way, I'm going to go ahead and say this. Fellas, that's still the bottom line of deputation. That's the bottom line of Sunday school. That's the bottom line of the singing and the choir. That's the bottom line of preaching. That's all it. Hey, lift him up! Can I say it again? The higher we exalt him, the more the world will take knowledge that we've been with Jesus, the more drawing power he'll have on a congregation, and the more sinners will be saved, more saints will be blessed. So we must make it our number one priority to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
An upward ministry, exalting the Savior. Number two, not only need the upward ministry exalting the Savior, but second, we need an, and I'm going to put this in this order, and you may want to go the other way yourself, but I'm going to put it in this order. We need an inward ministry edifying the saints. Now, boy, what I'm fixing to say now could fit in a lot of Baptist churches that I've been in the last several months, even years. I tremble. Preacher, I hurt to see so many churches that seem to care so little about fellow members in the church. God dealt with my heart about this some time ago. You don't know who's hurting over what. And many times, preacher, just if I could use this expression, just a pat on the back and a good word of cheer. Just a God bless you. I don't care if a person's got 40 things wrong with them, Brother Cheryl, find something good and brag on it. Is there anybody in here that don't like to be bragged on? No, they're not. Come on now. Come on, be honest. Amen? But we need to realize that every person has their own battles. They've got their own burdens. And most of them, thank the Lord, most of them are not going to corner you off and tell you all your problems. Aren't you glad they don't? I learned a long time ago it's a dangerous thing to ask people how's things going. Some of them will really tell you. And about 20 minutes later, you're standing there wishing they'd hush and wishing you hadn't asked it. But there ought to be a fellowship.
Yes, sir.
There ought to be a, not just a unity, but a union, a closeness, a family, a fellowship. Nobody ought to ever come in church and leave here without more than one person shaking their hand and speaking to them. And I want to make this statement. I like the fellowship time, but a lot of times in a fellowship time, people just shake hands because they're supposed to. You know, you're supposed to go around and shake hands. I'm saying, preacher, them extra steps, them extra ordinary thing means a whole lot more than just... And I like fellowship. Now, you know what I do. But listen. Listen. Barnabas was an encourager. We got a lot of Baptists who want to change their name to Barney. Encouraging. Encouraging. One of the things I'd say to you is reach your Baptist church, and I'm confident you'll do it, but I'm going to encourage you even more. Make sure you take a moment and speak words of encouragement to these missionaries this week. And missionaries, you take time to encourage, especially the people at work and the people around. Let it be known. Let it be known. I know you'll do it. I'm just saying, listen, that's a ministry. And the more that we encourage and lift up each other, the more Christ is glorified in the body of the church. And God will bless us as we bless others.
Amen.
That's around us. Number three. Not only we need in this right ministry for its program, we need an upward ministry exalting the Savior. We need an inward ministry edifying, encouraging, educating the saints. But we need an outward ministry evangelizing the lost.
Amen.
I'll tell you one of the battles, one of the places I am so sorry and low down and wretched in. I want to help you get to Africa. To tell the lost, God loves him, Christ died for him. But for some reason, I don't feel near as much persuasion at the motel room, at the grocery store, in the neighborhood. I'm talking about scenic blue. You can put yourself wherever you fit at. I sit down to that radio microphone, and the radio bill now has come to $6,000 a month, preacher. God's helped us every month. It's been a tough year, but God's helped us every month. Brother Bud, there's numbers of them I could witness to and never cost me a dime.
Right. That's right.
Good. As I go in my way, as I go through my day, when I use the word church evangelizing, I'm not just talking about, yeah, we ought to have evangelistic preaching, and it's got its place. We ought to have altar calls, see him Savior. But I'm telling you, this is not the only place the church functions inside the building.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
I believe what happens inside is fruit of what happens on the outside. You know, one of the things I noticed when I pastored, and I know you saw it, preacher. It seems like some weeks before you go all out on visitation and nobody comes. Do you ever have a week like that? You know what I found out, Brother Allen? There'll be somebody God will bring in that nobody even witnessed to. And then y'all never witnessed this. Somebody wasn't invited, but God will honor it. God will honor it. I believe a lot of times, a lot of people are trying to get their own family saved, and we ought to be concerned about our own family. But I'm convinced sometimes, if we got interested in somebody else's children, somebody else's family, somebody else's loved ones, then God would send somebody by our loved ones, and God will reach them through somebody else.
Amen.
I wouldn't care if my loved ones got saved. Are you going to them? Are you going to them? Are you going to them? No, just so they can say. But I'm simply saying to you, our business, the main thing of the church is getting the gospel to the lost and seeing sinners come to Christ and be saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
The right ministry for its program, an outward ministry exalting the Savior, an inward ministry edifying, exhorting and educating the saints, an outward ministry evangelizing the sinner. And then I will say this, number five, and I'll be through. For a church to glorify Christ, it must have the right man for its pastor.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Now I want to say publicly, so everybody hear it. I don't have, Brother Sexton, you don't have one strike against you in my book as being God's man for this church. I ought to get some amens right there. So I'm not trying to correct you or settle any issue. You understand. You know me better than to do something like that. If I got an issue with you, God give me grace to come to you man to man and talk to you. Amen. But I don't, having said that, I want to say this. Even in good churches, the relationship of pastor to church and church to pastor, sometimes just, it's like they lose their first love. And it'll kill the preacher, I know being there, and it'll kill the membership. The whole church suffers when we don't have the proper relationship with that man of God. I'm preaching through 1 Timothy on the radio. I deal with chapter number 3 sometime about a month from now. I've been preaching on it in the last few days. But I want to say this. There are 5 titles given in the Bible to the man that we call the pastor. He's called an elder. He's called a bishop. He's called an overseer. He's called a shepherd. He's called a pastor. Now watch me just a moment. I'm not up here to just teach you a lesson, but I need to say this so I can go where I'm going to. When you study the Greek wording, there are only 3 words. 2 of those words, twins, are meaning the same thing. Now, the word elder stands alone. As far as I know, it does not have a twin brother. But the word bishop and overseer are the same word. They mean exactly what that word is, overseer. The word for bishop and the word overseer comes from the same Greek word we get our word superintendent. Here's what I found out. The superintendent's not the boss. But he's the one the boss made the boss while the boss is away. Can I get an amen there? You work on a public job, you work on a job, you got a superintendent. He's not the main boss, but he is the man that the main boss put in charge. I want to say to you, God did not select a deacon board, and I have no gripe with the deacons here. God didn't select a committee. God didn't select somebody else. And anything that's got 2 hands is a freak. Anytime anybody comes in and tries to ease in and take away from the position and the power that God places in the man of God, run from him or run him off. God put him in charge. He's the overseer. He's the bishop. Then he's called a pastor shepherd. Only pastor, referring as we talk about in the New Testament. Now the word pastor appears several times, Ezekiel and some of the Old Testament. But the word pastor only appears one time in the New Testament. Ephesians 5. He gives some apostles, some prophets, and some pastors and evangelists, some pastor teacher. But he's a shepherd. Now watch this just a moment. There's 2 sides of this. Preacher, I'm not a pastor. But I'm going to go ahead and say this if everybody gets upset. I believe that the evangelist and the missionary holds the same requirements as does the pastor. I tell you why I believe that. In Ephesians 4:11, he puts them all in the same group and makes them gifts to the church. Now, I know and you know in Bible days there was nobody to run all over the country every week and preach meetings. That wasn't revival. That wasn't mission. That wasn't evangelism that day. I believe evangelism in the Bible is basically what you and I call missions. It's church planning ministries. Evangelism, when the lost, starting church, I believe that to be true. But God gives all of them as gifts to the church. I like this statement. I read it somewhere. God gave some to the church, but he didn't give the church to some. I need to say that again. He gave some men to the church, but he didn't give the church to some men. Still his church. Still his church. As a preacher, Brother Sexton, now I'm not preaching to you. I want your people to hear this. I am preaching, but I want your people to hear it. They need to hear what I'm fixing to say. As a preacher, there ought to be a way that I look at being a preacher myself. It means, and I don't know, it means something to me for people to call me preacher. Yep, yep. I'd rather be called preacher than doctor. I'd rather be called brother than doctor. I don't really like the word doctor. It makes me think everybody I'm preaching to is sick. Most of them are, but anyway, I don't want to say it. But I like brother. I like preacher. If I were a pastor, and you could call your pastor Sexton, that wouldn't bother me at all. But I really just like preacher, like brother. But when somebody calls me preacher, certainly something rises up in me. It does. It means something. It's not a derogatory title in my ear. They may even mean it derogatory, but I like to be called God's man.
Yes.
Now watch this. I don't know why God wanted me to include this in this message, but He did, and I'm going to do it. I'm to be an elder. The man of God is called an elder in the Bible, right? Elder has to do with my dignity. If I'm going to be respected, I must be respectable.
Amen.
In a sense, well, this is good missions preaching, but in a sense, you and I are no more, we're men just like these other men are men, but in position. God puts us in a position of respect. Dignity. I don't want to be like another man. You know, Samson wanted to find out what do be like another man. He found out and he didn't like it after he got to be like another man. I have two brothers. Brother Bud, I am no better than either of them. No better. I'm no better, Brother Sexton, than my brothers are. But it's an honor to me when all my sisters and brothers call me the preacher. But you know what? For them to keep calling me that title, I've got my side to live up to it. I must earn their respect, dignity. I want to say this. You missionaries, you will be respected in debitation as you prove yourself respectable.
Amen.
So if I preach them to any, I don't know why I'm where I'm at tonight. I don't know God dealt with me about this. Everything else I had left, and God brought this on my heart. As I was coming up the road today, people will generally respond to you as a missionary according to what they see in you.
That's right.
And what they hear out of you. I'm just going to illustrate. Nobody said anything wrong, preacher, as far as I know. I haven't heard anything. As far as I know, everybody's in good shape. But you come in down, grouchy, grumbly, complaining, dissatisfied, don't want to cooperate. It'll get out on you. You can't hide it.
Yep. That's right.
But you come in, and I'm going to say it. This man is the pastor. He's a man of God. He's the pastor of this church. And if he says 10, and no, I'm not throwing it on you guys on the time, but when he says that 10 minutes, 20 minutes, then if you don't honor him, God won't honor you. In this church, if I was a member of this church, I wouldn't honor you either.
Amen.
I don't mean, you know what I'm talking about.
That's right.
If you want to be respected, you got to present some dignity, some respect. They got to see some. I have no problem with people respecting me when I am respectable. Brother Jordan, about 99% of the time, if somebody don't respect me right, all I got to do is go look in the mirror or rewind my events of the day. And usually when I do, I don't have a problem wondering why they don't respect them. God wants the church to have unity.
Yes.
That unity ought to be between the pastor and the people.
Yes.
Pastor toward people and people toward pastor and pastor toward visitors and visitors toward pastor. There ought to be some respect. Y'all going to let me finish? You're not getting your offering back. But number two, he's not only called the elder, which speaks of the dignity he must possess and the respect you must have to him. But he's called, as I said earlier, he's called an overseer. He's called a bishop, and that means superintendent. I'm going to do something. I'm just being obedient to what I feel like God wants me. I want you to turn your Bible to Hebrews 13 for just a moment. I never preach this in a mission conference. Hebrews chapter number 13. Let me just get verse number 7. I'm going to give you three verses real quickly for time's sake. The Bible said, remember them that have the rule over you. Boy, that's a bad word for Baptist, ain't it? Can I ask you a question? What part of that do you not understand? Remember me. So we know somebody in the church has rule over somebody. Can I get an amen? Let me read on verse number 7. Let's see if we can find out who it is. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. I wonder what that means. This person that's got rule over us is the one that has spoken unto us the word of God. Everybody read that in your Bible? Is that in your Bible? I'm not being mean. We've not talked. If there's anything going on I don't know anything about, I don't suppose you are. But anyway, I'm just preaching what's on my heart. And then he said, look at verse number 7 again. He said, remember them that which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Now look at this. Whose faith followeth? You say, well, I just don't see it. Maybe you're not supposed to see it. It doesn't say according to the way you see it. It said to follow the faith of the man that God gave rule over you. Now, I know he does it and he practices it. I believe anything that can be spoken openly to people when God's leading you, you clear it up. I know that. But there's some things that God just don't give a man of God good liberty, because some in the congregation may not be able to really comprehend it, take it in and understand it rightly. There's some things that the man of God does have to keep secret. You know what Brother Roloff said? When you can't track him, trust him.
Amen.
Amen. Look at your Bible again. Verse number 17.
Amen.
The Bible said, verse number 17, obey them that have the rule over you. There's that statement again. Twice in the same chapter. No, he's not a dictator. I heard somebody say it this way, Pastor. If you as a pastor haven't been accused of being a dictator, you're probably not a good pastor. Obey them to have the rule over you. Now, look at this. You say you got the rule. Yeah, but look what it's going to cost him. He said, and submit yourselves. Every one of these missionaries, every preacher in here can tell you what I'm talking about here. It don't take long, Brother Sexton, in a church to find the unsubmitted ones. They wouldn't say it probably open. They might say it in a secret to you, brother, but or to somebody in secret, but you just see it. That preacher ain't going to tell me what to do. Who's he think he is? I'm as much a man as he is. Yeah, Moses' brother and sister tried that too. Now, why are you to be submitted to him? Why are you to obey him? Look at verse number 17 again. And submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls. How? As they that must give account. That they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that, giving it with grief, would be unprofitable for you. I'm embarrassing the preacher, and I don't mean to be embarrassing him. I'm getting this off my heart, what I got on my heart, preacher. Listen, at the judgment seat of Christ, there'll be certain things. Give me a name. I can't get your name coming right now. Chad, Brother Chad. It's not long on that, but Brother Chad, I'm separating you from family just as a man of the church now. You don't do right. And God's going to say, all right, Pastor, give an account. He didn't do right. Did you preach truth to him?
Exactly right. Yep.
He's going to say, yes. And when he does, then God looks at you. It's not going to be profitable for you. But if the pastor said, no, I didn't, it's on him. He can't make you do anything. Amen? But he can preach it to you, and then he will become a witness against you at the judgment seat of Christ instead of for you. If you don't submit yourselves, take the message of God. Look at verse number 24. Verse number 24, the Bible said, shall of them, here's that statement again, that have rule over you. Can you believe three times in one passage God said the man of God's got rule over the membership of the church? Now, I want to tell you where I stand, Brother Sexton. I think we're close together on it. I don't mean you're going to come to the member's house and tell them how to run their daily affairs and all that. That is speaking of the spiritual things of the church, the leadership of the church, the work of God in the church. That's what it means. That's what it means. Are you agreeing with me, men? Don't come over my house and tell me what my wife can eat for supper. Amen? Don't tell me what kind of car I can buy and can't buy. Now, if you're a young Christian, there's nothing wrong with you seeking godly counsel from the man of God to say, Brother Wayne, I'm thinking about buying this house. Would you help me pray about it? What do you think about it? A preacher, I'm thinking about buying this car. Nothing wrong with that. Giving counsel when counsel is sought. But in spiritual matters, God, and I don't know who's deacons here, and I love all you men. Respect all of you. But God's not going to come to the deacon and say, tell Brother Wayne he ought to do this. You men get together as deacons and tell pastor he ought to do this. God don't work that way. If your God works that way, you ought to junk him and get saved. Because the God of the Bible don't talk that way. God will come to the man he put in charge. Can you imagine an owner of a company bypassing the superintendent and saying, hey, I want you to tell the superintendent I said. Some bossmen might do that, but God won't. God said, if I'm going to have a church that glorifies Christ, I've got to have the right man, and he's got to have the right respect. Elder speaks of the dignity he must possess and the respect you must show him. That's his part and your part. The bishop and overseer speaks of the responsibility that he has and the duty he must perform. But then the pastor and shepherd speaks of the devotion he must have and the relationship that he has. Brother Sexton, I'm not being wrong to say this, but that shepherd and sheep get pretty close. And it works both ways. Blessed is the church. Men, am I right? Blessed is the church. Don't you love to get in a church where you don't have to wait 30 minutes. You don't have to wait 30 or 3, 10 days, 5 days. You don't have to wait a minute to figure out. Boy, you know, they kind of love each other. I like it. It's true. And for you can see, I like it when you can see it right up front. I want to make this statement. I got to move on and give this lesson real quick. I've done preach too long. But if a church is going to maintain the mission program, then you've got to maintain the proper relationship with a man of God.
Amen.
It don't have to do it, but I shudder to wonder what would happen to this great mission program if this man were moved off the scene. You ain't planning on moving. Don't tell me that. But I don't. But amen. And I could say that, preacher, about hundreds of pastors. God has built this mission program around your leadership. Yes, they follow. Yes, they give. Yes, they pray. Yes, they participate. But it all rallies around your leadership. And if that unity of church and membership, a church and membership and pastor is broken, the mission program will go. Now, the other one is an hour long. But I'm not going to preach it. I'm going to give you this nine through. Number one, we need to write motive for a purpose. We need to write manual for precepts, write ministry for our program. We need to write man for a pastor. We need to write members for our people. I wouldn't tell you I'm not going to preach it tomorrow. I don't think I am. I'm not planning on it. But I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to name about seven or eight things real quickly, and I'm through. If you're going to be a member of Ridgeview Baptist Church, number one, we need people that are fixed in their salvation. I got called to preach a constitution, not a constitution service, but a service beginning, a new church, something, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. And Brother Sexton, I went down there, and God led me to preach. In fact, I preached on what I'm preaching on tonight, not in the same tune, but a different, you know, different era. And there were seven church members fixing to join that new church, got saved within the next week. Seven church members lost. If you're not saved, you and this church will never get along like you can if you are saved. You and this preacher will never get along. Fixed in their salvation. We need people, we need church members that are forgiven of all their sins. I mean, quit hiding, quit covering, and start confessing. What a thrill. I don't care what you've committed. If you're man enough to confess it, God's God enough to cleanse it.
Yes, He does.
You're God enough to forsake it. God's God enough to forgive it.
Yep.
Fixed in their salvation. Forgiven all their sins. Fortified with the Scriptures.
Yes, sir.
Get in the book.
Yes, sir, brother.
Fervent in supplication. Get on your knees before God.
Yes.
Feel with the Spirit. Free in your sharing. Following the shepherd. I could preach two nights on that, Brother Bud. The church that glorifies Christ. Brother Sexton, I got a call on yesterday. It could have been Monday. I believe it was yesterday. And a dear man said to me, I met you so-and-so, and you probably don't remember me, and I didn't remember him. I kind of remember his name, maybe. And he said to me, I'm pastoring a church, and the name of the church in a certain town, 150 miles, I guess, from where I live. And I'd never been in that church, but I knew a former pastor, stayed there 10 years, a great man of God, and had a great work going. And he said, they called me here about 3 months ago, and I'm the pastor now. And they're interested in missions, and we want you to come. It's whatever you can work out, Sunday, whatever, come and help us in our missions program. And I said, well, how many have you got now? How's it going? Yeah. And he said, about 20. He said, I don't know if you know or not, but they sold forever ago. They sold the big new church auditorium building. And we're meeting in the storefront. In one sense, it might help a lot of independent Baptist churches that have to go back to storefronts.
Yeah, go ahead, brother. Yep.
But it's a shame when a ministry goes down.
Yeah.
A church goes down. A work goes down. And can I say it? Sometimes it's over some of the dumbest little old things. We just let them happen and we don't deal with them.
Right.
But I promise you, if you'll keep lifting Him up, put Him first, glorifying Christ,
amen,
God will honor them that honor Him. Let's stand together. Thank you for listening. Come on, sister. As far as I know, preacher, I'll go to bed tonight wondering why in the world I preached that, but I've done my best to be obedient to God. I could not believe when God began to deal with my heart. No, Lord, that's not what I need to preach tonight. If you're a preacher, you know what I'm talking about. Boy, that message has been on your heart for some time. It just starts lifting away. Loses its weight. God places another in. And there's a great possibility you may be here tonight. You may be here tonight and be guilty of something that God spoke to you about. Don't wait till tomorrow night or Sunday to get it right. Get it right tonight. But I tell you, Brother Sexton, sometimes God sends messages like this as warnings. Warnings. Don't allow yourself to get put in a position till you would be the person that destroys the work of God in a church that glorifies Christ. Father, I know I'm nothing. But I believe I can say to you, Lord, as best I know how, I have followed you in the preaching of the Word of God tonight. You told me to cast the bread out on the water. It would not return void. I've done it with faith. And I pray, Lord, wherein I failed you, you forgive me. But use the message to the glory of Christ. Lord, help these missionaries. They too will soon be, in one sense, pastoring works as they start them until they turn them over to a national. They deal with pastors all the time. They're members of local churches somewhere now. Lord, I want to thank you. I've come here all these years to Ridgeview Baptist Church, and I truly do feel, as your pastor said earlier, Lord, I'm at home. This is my people. These are my families. These are my brothers and sisters in Christ. They're my friends. They're my loved ones. Oh, God, I want to pray you help me. Use me and say to them through me what you want to say. Do what you want to do and do what needs to be done. We'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Brother Allen, what are we singing? How thine own way.